WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Monday morning, and it is Money Monday. We will be joined by Manny, the Money Man Resendiz, in just a little bit. He is stuck in traffic, and that's all right. We totally understand because we are dealing with that now with this whole 195 Route 18 situation, which, by the way, I was taking a look at some of that work over the weekend. I kind of was going through that area. I went to Kilburn Mill yesterday, and so I went up and down Route 18 a couple of times and was looking at some of the work that was being done. And it doesn't look like any of the real heavy stuff has begun yet, but it's only a matter of time. And then we're going to be dealing with significant traffic backups. Right now, you know, if you're trying to get through that area, it's not that bad. But as we know, it's going to start to, you know, build up more and more. It especially gets bad on Cogswell Street. It gets bad on Belleville Ave. It gets bad on North Front Street, as that's where people are being detoured around. So just keep in mind, if you're heading through that area, especially in the mornings and in the afternoons, it's going to be slow going. You know, even that stretch on Route 18 where you're coming toward Cogswell Street there, people are, I guess, not realizing that they can't turn onto the highway there and that they have to get directed around. Now, when you are going that way, if you're trying to head toward Fall River, you do have a couple of options. You can go further down toward like the 7-Eleven. You can also go up to the Penniman Street exit. So you have, you know, toward, you know, the Penniman Street's the off-ramp, but the on-ramp over there, I don't know the name of that street. But you can get that way as well, if that makes things a little bit easier for you. But I think, you know, you're gonna figure out the route that works for you, because, like I said, we're going to be going through this for a number of years. And if you have any, you know, concerns about how long it's going to take you to get to where you're going, just use your GPS apps. I am working with our corporate folks to try to get the traffic feature reinstalled on the WBSM app. Long story short, I guess there was a service that they were using for it that they don't use anymore. So now we've got to find a new one. And then we've got to find out, you know, what's it going to cost? Is it worth it? But we want to be able to offer that to you. So we'll keep you up to date on that. Mainly, just use, you know, whether you use Google Maps or Apple Maps or Waze or any of those, keep those handy so that you have that option when you are heading out on the road. Because just because you know how long it takes you to get from point A to point B, you don't know what the backups are going to be like. And then the other part of that, too, is we're only in the beginning stages. Wait until it starts to become more intense work, because then it's only going to cause more backups, cause more problems, cause more detours and redirections. So if you have alternate routes that you can utilize, and even if it's going to take you a little bit longer, definitely do it. You know, there's going to be a time when we're going to start saying people who are like heading toward the near north end, they're going to say, I'm just going to go through Acushnet. There's some days I do that now, depending on where I'm trying to go. You know, if I'm leaving here and I'm going to, say, D's Hot Dogs, rather than take Belleville Ave down to Tarkin Hill Road or Ashley Boulevard, I'm sorry, Acushnet Avenue down to Tarkin Hill Road, I will go around through Acushnet. Just because it's usually less traffic that way. But we'll all find our own tips and tricks, and then we won't share them with anybody else, right? Because we don't want them taking advantage of our shortcuts. And then it becomes everybody's shortcut, and then it's not a shortcut anymore. And another thing to keep in mind, too, as this traffic continues, is once we start getting into the winter season, if we start getting snow and these roads are still, you know, these ramps are still going to be shut down, it's going to make it difficult if the roads aren't plowed in time. So that's going to slow things down. Now, the good part is if they can't use the highway for certain places and they're going to be using the surface roads, well, that does kind of help keep the surface roads clear, too. The more cars use them, the less snow buildup you get. That used to always drive me crazy coming here in the mornings or even going to work at the diner in the mornings, is being the first person on the road or the first person to go down the road in a while. You're the one blazing that trail through the snow. I'd much rather follow in somebody else's tire tracks. I would much rather be the person that's following behind someone else and let them be the person to hit the black ice before I get to it. Although I should be better off this year. I got my new brakes, my new tires, all thanks to Mac Auto Sales. Mac Auto Sales on Rivet Street in New Bedford South End, they took care of me. They can take care of you too. They specialize in foreign cars like mine, and they got the work done quickly. They got it done. And I'm not kidding when I tell you it's like a new car. It's amazing when you don't do certain things for a while and then they get done. You say, wow, this is like a brand new car. Why did I wait so long? Well, there's no reason to wait with Mac Auto Sales. Don't forget, too, that in the next hour, we will be joined by the New Bedford City Council President, Shane Burgo. He is back from his vacation. He is back to talk with us about what happened Thursday night in the meeting where they have decided, the council has decided to basically filibuster anything that the mayor puts through that is not, that the council feels is not essential, as a way of holding their ground against him in his decision not to have them confirm the police chief. The mayor says he doesn't have to have them confirm it. They say he does. The council is willing to take him to court. And I don't know where this goes from here. So we'll ask the council president how he thinks that working relationship can go forward, because this is a big risk. This is a big risk a month out from the primary election. This is a big risk because people could look at this and say, what are these councilors doing? I'm just going to vote out all the incumbents. Like, enough of this already. Enough of this already. No more. Anybody who is an incumbent that has a challenger, I'm voting for the other person. When it comes to the council at large, I'm voting for the other five. I mean, they're going to narrow it down to the other five. But still, like, that might be the approach that people take if they are fed up with what's going on. The council is betting that people are more fed up with the mayor and that they want the council to remain that check and balance to the mayor. So I don't know how far we can push that before people want to say, okay, enough already. So, we'll get your take on that coming up in the next hour with the council president. I can see Manny, the money man, Resendi's pulling in right now. So I'm going to take a break here. When we come back, we'll have Money Monday for as much time as we can get with it. And we'll be right back. All right, we are back, and we are joined now by Manny, the money man, Resendi's. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good morning, Tim. How's your day going?
So far, so good. I know, you know yours is a little bit, you know, already tense with the traffic situation and everything.
No worries. It's the way it is, and we'll just keep moving forward.
But at least it gives you time to let your mind wander a little bit when you're in traffic and can think about how you can best help people out with what's going on in the world today.
Absolutely.
So let's get right into it. I think people are getting more and more concerned about where the economy is going. A lot of pundits are using the R word and saying, you know, unless some things change, that's exactly where we're headed, and that it might be even worse than, you know, it was in 2008. So what are you seeing? What are you hearing from people, and how are you talking them down from the ledge?
Absolutely. The R word, or recession in general, is just not a great word to hear. But what we have found is that if you start the planning process and you're ready for retirement, there are certain things that you should have in place. And so when it comes to planning for recessions or for retirement in general, you should have three different things available. You should have your guaranteed income, your predictable income, and your flexible income. So if you have money set aside just to cover your paycheck, that is a good feeling, right? So if you're ready to go into retirement and you know exactly how you're going to replace your paycheck, that's your guaranteed income. Your predictable is kind of the fun money. And then your flexible income is what you're going to cover for long term or to ride out whatever that market is going to look like.
And I think the important thing to note here, too, is, you know, not only have you seen things like this happen in the past, and people might say, well, this could be unprecedented. Okay, but so even if that's the case, you're the professional that's kind of trained to foresee these kind of things and to, as part of planning, take into account that these things may occur.
Absolutely. So when it comes to planning for a recession, we've gone through this before. This is not the first time that you or I or any of us have gone through it. In our lifetime, we're going to go through at least four or five of these minimum. And so this idea of retiring in a recession or retiring in an upmarket is going to have an impact on your retirement is, it'll have a little bit of effect, but overall, it's not as big of a deal as we make it out to be, right? Our own internal insecurities or fears are going to make it worse. And so if you do the planning process, if you have an idea of this is what I know I'm going to live on, this is what I'm going to use to have fun or travel or cover the everyday expenses, and then what am I going to use to keep up with inflation? You're going to be in a good place. And if you're not sure how to do that, that's where you have to reach out to a professional and make sure you know exactly where your money's coming from.
And when you're making these plans, helping people with this planning, you're not really looking at, you know, what do we expect the biggest peak to be? What do we expect the lowest valley to be? You're saying, how do we keep you kind of in the middle no matter what goes on?
That's exactly it. You're never going to be happy with the upside. You're never going to be happy with the downside. In reality, as humans, we want consistency. We want predictability. And so the market itself is not predictable. And so if you set your retirement to live and die by the market, you're going to have a really hard time in retirement. Whereas if you put pieces in place to say, okay, I know I can rely on this set of money every single month, whether it is Social Security, whether it's withdrawals from my IRA, whatever you're going to use, that's going to put you in a good place. And then everything else, let it ride the roller coaster.
And really, that is the point of retirement here. It's keeping you at that level that you're comfortable at when you're not going to be working. It's not about, you know, let's put all the money in the market and see if we can get you rich. It's about making sure that you can sustain that lifestyle that you plan on having for the final act of your life.
Absolutely. And that's where having the conversations about how are you going to use your money? How are you going to store it? What tools are you going to use? Because not everything is created equal. And so as long as you have an idea of this is what I want to use for my day-to-day life, this is what I'm going to use for fun, and then this is what I'm going to use for the next stage of retirement, whether it is keeping up with inflation or passing it to the grandkids, that is a good start.
And you mentioned inflation here, and that I think more than anything is what people are most worried about, because we were hoping that it was going to go away by now, and it doesn't look like it's going to happen anytime soon. How are you dealing with that when people are coming in with those concerns, and how are you helping people prepare to deal with that?
And I think that's very key. When it comes to inflation, we're reactionary. Right now, we're in the middle of a spike in inflation. For 20 years, we had inflation less than 2%, and now all of a sudden we're on the other side of it where inflation is higher. The historical average is around 3.25%. So anything around 3.25, that is a normal inflation rate. The problem is it's not consistent, right? It's an average. So there's going to be some years where it's lower, some years where it's higher. As long as you plan for at least 5 or 6 of these inflationary increases in your retirement, you're going to be okay. And so what I tell most people is you need a certain amount of money set aside just to grow, just to keep up, because the only thing to really use to keep up with inflation is the market. And so if you have a little bit of money exposed for growth, you're going to be okay as long as you don't forget about the fact that inflation still exists.
So you put some of that money aside, and then you hope that you know, rides on the upswing. But what happens if it doesn't?
Well, and this is where there are other pieces in place, right? As we get older, our budget and our expenses are going to change a little bit. And so the fun money, the vacation money, the stuff for projects and repairs is going to slowly go away from your budget. And so that money is going to get reallocated to things that are going to cost more, whether it's food or shelter or medication. And then that gives hopefully time for your investments to recover or grow so that you can use that as a supplement.
And we've talked about this in the past, but you hope that as you're not working, that maybe some of your expenses are less. But then as you've pointed out, but what are you living your life for? You know, there's other things that you want to do that you're kind of replacing. So is it accurate to say, I mean, I know it's going to be different for a person. You're going to go through it with them when they come in. But is it accurate to say that you need to have a similar income to what you're bringing in from your retirement investments?
So we have found that what you live on for your lifestyle doesn't really change, but your overall expenses will. And so what I mean by that is the getting up and going to work every day, the wear and tear on your car, the stopping at Dunkin' Donuts every morning, those little expenses will start to go away. And so what you do as an individual, I'm going to get up, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to go spend time with the grandkids, that won't change. But how you spend your money will. And so we have found that on average, you don't need 100% of what you're bringing in. You need probably somewhere between 70 or 80% of that, depending on how you live and what's important to you.
Well, as an advisor, do you look at kind of line by line what people spend their money on and talk to them about whether or not that's something that they need to keep going with? Or do you just ask them to say, what do you want to keep going with?
That's a great question. Depending on the person, generally, we try not to go individual, line by line, item by item, because let's be honest, if you and I started going through what we spend our money on through our checkbook, we're going to lose our mind, right? There's
right.
way too many details. But we look for what do you average spend, what goes in, what goes out, and we generally try to look at what's that total number at the end of the month and then use that as a starting line. If it doesn't work, then we'll go line by line to figure out where the excess is. But for the most part, we're creatures of habit. We know what we're going to spend, and so we generally have a good idea of what we need.
I mean, it must be tough when you get somebody who comes in and is like, well, I'm a four-pack-a-day smoker, and I want to stay a four-pack-a-day smoker. Well, that's $40 a day, $50 a day you're wasting. But really, like, you've got to just help them live that lifestyle that they want to live.
That's exactly it. We're never going to tell someone, hey, you have to change who you are. Stop doing these items. Stop doing the things that you like. The reality is we are creatures of habit. We're going to do it whether we like it or not. And so my job is just to make sure the checkbook is always full. And when it empties, how do we replace it?
And I'm just asking because I know there's people out there that would love to talk to an advisor, but they're afraid that that's what you're going to tell them. You've got to stop doing this. You've got to stop doing that. You know, you're wasting money with this. But hey, if you're a four-pack-a-day smoker, one of the things that's going to happen is your medical costs are going to go up. And I think everybody's medical costs are going to go up because we're seeing that happen now where some of these drug protections have gone away. What is the future, do you think, of people having to pay for medical costs, and how do you combat that when you're helping them plan for retirement?
So medical is probably the number one or number two concern that most people have when they're going into retirement, right? What am I going to do about the cost of medical? What happens when it gets more expensive? Do I have to choose between my medications and food? that is a scary place to be in. The idea behind medical is over time, our costs for medical are going to go up. And it's just simply a matter of today's the healthiest you and I are ever going to be. Tomorrow is a whole nother day. And so we try to plan for a budget or a buffer that as you get older, we can spend a little bit more on those medical costs. But the reality is the vacations you're taking now, the plane trips, the spoiling the grandkids, that's going to change as you get older. And so your income won't change, but the way you allocate your money or your budget will. And you're going to find that your fund money is going to go closer or more towards your medical expenses. And you're just going to find that day to day, you're going to spend a little more on doctor copays or a little bit more on prescription medications. And it's not catastrophic. It's just you're going to reallocate what your budget's for.
And it must be a little bit difficult because you've got somebody who's coming in at 40, 45, 50 to make these retirement plans, and they don't know what their medical situation is going to be when they're 70.
That's exactly it. Unless we're doing water and green veggies every day, there's going to be a change to the way you and I are going to be health-wise, and it's just age and time. And so what I have found is that as you go through retirement and you get closer and closer to the end of your retirement stage, you're going to spend more time seeing your doctor and less time going on vacations and cruises and things like that. That's not a bad thing. It's just the cycle of life. And so we just know the money you have set aside for those fun items are going to switch more towards medical.
And as you know, you've got people who I'm sure are coming in as young as, you know, probably people in their 20s and 30s who are trying to make these plans. And, you know, they're not thinking in their head of what could be down the line because they've always been healthy. They don't realize that some of the stuff just comes with time.
Yeah. And if you're in that younger stage, you're not worrying as much about the medical. What you're worrying more about is how do you set the money aside so that when there is an expense, when there is a surprise, you're in good shape. And so what I would tell those that are on the younger side, if you're not in that 55 or older range trying to plan for retirement, don't freak out about the medical. Just continue to save money aside, and eventually you'll have a pool of cash that'll be used for that medical cost.
So I come into you, and I'm interested in setting up retirement. And one of the things that I want to do is when I don't have to work anymore, I want to get on a train, and I want to ride across the country on that train. Do I tell you that at the outset? Do I say, here's my dream, here's what I want to do? Or do I wait and see kind of how the planning shapes up and if I would be able to do that?
So depending on the person, you're going to share that with me or you're not. But generally speaking, I would prefer to know that in the very beginning because that is a bucket list item. That's a dream item. That is something that is paramount to you as an individual. And so if I know that, I will make sure that there is cash set aside, there's money set aside for that type of project. Now, we're going to plan for that anyway, and it just might not be that specific trip, but it gives me a clear target or a goal to help you look for.
And do you, we were talking about before, you don't really discourage people from wanting to do these things. You're trying to find a way to make it happen for them.
That's exactly it. I'm never going to tell somebody, no, you shouldn't do that unless it really is going to be harmful to you. Because our role as an advisor, whether it's myself or any of the other members of the team, is to make sure that whatever we recommend to you helps you get to what's important to you, what is in your best interest.
And of course, we do have to point out that there's always going to be some risk. All you're trying to do is mitigate that risk as best you can based on the experience and the knowledge that you have.
That's exactly it. There are no guarantees in life other than whatever the day is at that time when you wake up. And so our goal is to make sure that whatever you decide to do with your time, you have that ability to enjoy it and not have to worry about the finance or the money side of it. Actually enjoy the retirement that you've built.
So somebody out there is thinking about contacting you at Euclid Financial Services. They want to be able to set up an appointment and talk to you. What do they need to have ready to sit down and talk with you?
Oh, fantastic question. So generally speaking, we look for what do you have set aside for retirement? What are the tools you're going to bring in, whether it's Social Security or a pension? The easiest way to find out, just go to our website at euclidfs.com. That's EUCLID. F as in financial, S as in services.com. You can book your appointment there, and you'll also get the checklist for what we suggest you bring for the first appointment.
And then when they come down, they come in, they sit down, they're talking with you, just know that, you know, you don't have to walk out of there with everything answered the first day. It's a process.
That's exactly it. We go through five different stages to figure out what are you trying to do and how are you going to get there. just remember the first conversation, it's a cup of coffee, it's a conversation between friends just to figure out where are you and what are you trying to get done? Because at the end of the day, the data is easy to get, but what you want, that's the hard question.
And have you ever had to say to somebody, there's no way you're ever going to have to retire, you're ever going to be able to retire, you're going to have to work the rest of your life?
I have not had to say that yet. Now, granted, give me enough time, I probably will. But for the most part, there's always a solution. Is it the one that you want? That's a different conversation. But at some point, every one of us is going to have to retire. It's just a matter of how and when.
Better to plan than to be forced into it.
You got it.
All right. Well, we'll let you get to work. Manny, one more time, let everybody know how they can reach out.
Sure. So there are two ways. You can call us right at the office at 401-727-2727, or you can go right to the website at EuclidFS, EUCLID, F as in financial, S as in services.com, and we'd love to have a cup of coffee with you.
All right. Thank you so much. And we're going to take a break here for the news. When we come back, we'll have today's edition of the Gen X Files. Stick around. Take it away, Mike Roberts.
Three bodies pulled from Lake Michigan, a teen girl in New York run down on purpose, and the memorial for Charlie Kirk is set.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Chicago police are investigating the discovery of several bodies in Lake Michigan. On Saturday, three bodies were pulled, including two children, and it appears to be connected to a domestic dispute. Police say the body of an infant girl, a 31-year-old woman, and a 6-year-old boy are in the process of being identified. A public memorial for Charlie Kirk is set for next week. The memorial will take place on September 21st inside State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. President Trump is expected to be in attendance. A teenager too young to legally drive is facing charges after he lost control of a car and struck an elderly pedestrian in Brooklyn. Larry Kofsky has that story.
Police say it happened Sunday morning in East New York on Pennsylvania Avenue. The Daily News reports that's when a car driven by a 15-year-old boy went out of control, striking a 71-year-old man who was standing on the sidewalk next to a utility pole. The pole was toppled. The boy tried to run but was apprehended nearby. The pedestrian was taken to Brookdale Hospital in stable condition. Police say the car was stolen or taken without permission.
President Trump is expected to see the Fed's cut interest rates after months of complaining that the action was long overdue. The Federal Reserve has indicated it will announce a rate cut later this week following a series of poor job reports. President Trump has been going after Fed Chair Jerome Powell, referring to him as too late Powell, for his refusal to cut rates. The FBI is facing questions after more than a dozen animal shelter employees were hospitalized for toxic smoke exposure. The incident happened in Billings, Montana, after the FBI conducted a controlled burn of meth nearby. The smoke also forced about 75 animals to be evacuated. Another member of the Biden administration is criticizing the former president. Former Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg told NBC's Meet the Press Biden should not have run for re-election. He added Biden should have made the decision sooner. Buttigieg was responding to an excerpt from former Vice President Kamala Harris's upcoming book, where she called Biden's decision to seek re-election reckless. Police say a 16-year-old girl is dead after being intentionally struck by a driver in Queens on Saturday morning.
Cops say it happened just after 4 a.m. on Benham Street and Roosevelt Avenue in Elmhurst. The New York Post reports Johanny Gomez Alvarez had walked out of a bar with her boyfriend, her mother, and her mother's friend when a 38-year-old man who was drunk spewed lewd comments at her. Police say a fight broke out and the man got into his SUV, went up onto the sidewalk, and plowed into Gomez Alvarez and her mother. The mother was taken to the hospital in stable condition, but her daughter died. Cops say the driver later crashed into a parked car and was arrested. I'm Lisa Salvati.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul is endorsing Zohran Mamdani for the New York mayoral race. Hochul made the announcement over the weekend in an op-ed with the New York Times. The governor says Mamdani is committed to a safer and more affordable New York City. She says that the city's next mayor should not surrender one inch to President Trump. Mamdani is the frontrunner in a crowded four-way race featuring former Governor Andrew Cuomo, incumbent Mayor Eric Adams, and Republican Curtis Sliwa. Lord of the Rings star Sean Astin will be SAG-AFTRA's next president. He was elected to lead the Actors Union on Friday, receiving almost 80% of the vote. Astin follows in the footsteps of his mother, Patty Duke, who served as the union's president from 1985 to 1988. He succeeds Fran Drescher, who decided not to run for re-election. In a statement, Astin said, "Now is the time for optimism and creativity." New Haven made pizza history on Friday after claiming a new Guinness World Record title for the largest pizza party. 4,525 people were in attendance. The previous record was 3,357 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The goal was to get at least 5,000 people to eat at least two slices during the event.
WBSM Sports.
Patriots over the Dolphins 33-27 yesterday afternoon, and the Red Sox over the Yankees at Fenway 6-4. Sox are off tonight. They host the A's tomorrow.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
We've got some clouds in store for the next few days. Mainly cloudy today, 74, down to 52 tonight. 71 tomorrow with a few clouds. Wednesday, more of the same, 70. Thursday, 73 with partial sun. Clearing out by Friday, sunny 76. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app.
This WBSM News update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
All right, hopefully my voice holds out long enough to get through this all, but here we go.
The Gen X Files.
Let's take a look at some of the events that mattered most to 80s and 90s kids on this date. We'll start off with our celebrity birthdays. Actor Tommy Lee Jones, who came to the South Coast a few years ago to film Finest Kind, turns 79 years old today. So does film director Oliver Stone, the man behind JFK, Natural Born Killers, and more. Reality TV star Lisa Vanderpump is 65. NFL Hall of Fame quarterback Dan Marino, who also starred in Ace Ventura in the 90s, turns 64. Actor Josh Charles is 54, while fellow actor Tom Hardy is 48. Happy birthday, Prince Harry. He's 41 today. And Heidi Montag of the Hills is 39. On this date in 1977, the popular TV show Chips premiered on NBC. Speaking of NBC, in 1980, Shogun, a TV miniseries starring Richard Chamberlain, began airing on that network. In 1982, the first issue of USA Today, published by Gannett, hit the newsstands and newspaper vending machines for the first time. On this date in 1984, The Muppet Babies premiered on CBS. Ran for quite a number of years on that network, and then again on some of the kids' networks like Nick Jr. and Disney Jr. In 1989, NASA published a comprehensive report on houseplants that are best for cleaning indoor air pollution. September 15th, 1990, Wilson Phillips had their second number one hit in the U.S. with Release Me. The group was made of Carney and Wendy Wilson, the daughters of Beach Boys leader Brian Wilson, along with Chyna Phillips, the daughter of Mama's and Papa's founder, John Phillips. In 1990, the Christian Broadcasting Network, CBN, renamed itself the Family Channel. Also on this date in 1990, Captain Planet and the Planeteers debuted on TBS. In 1999, the Academy Award-winning film American Beauty was released in theaters. In 2004, the National Hockey League lockout began, canceling the 2004-2005 season. September 15th, 2014, Apple released a tool to remove U2's new album from its customers' iTunes accounts 6 days after giving away the music for free. Some users had complained about the fact that their latest album, Songs of Innocence, had automatically been downloaded to their devices without their permission. Sorry you didn't like the free album. In 2019, 75-year-old singer, songwriter, and producer Rick Ocasek was found dead in his New York City apartment. He was the co-founder and frontman of the Boston-based band The Cars, and later found success as a solo artist and a producer, working with the likes of No Doubt, Weezer, and Bad Religion. And Rick Ocasek, one of the greats of rock music, and it is Ocasek, not Ocasek. That's the Gen X Files for September 12th, 2025. Yeah, that's something that I learned. I always said Ocasek for years, and then when he passed away, that's when I learned that we'd been saying it wrong all of these years. So now we'll pronounce it the correct way. And you probably hear me play Friends of P by The Rentals every now and then. That's a song that at the time his wife was a model, Paulina Porizkova, and she was a model and she was also a psychic. And she felt that she had psychic abilities. And when they were making that song, when they were making the Weezer album, rather, with Rick Ocasek, and she was there, she told Matt Sharp, the bass player, gave him a palm reading. And all the stuff that she told him in that palm reading became the lyrics to the song Friends of P. She's the P in Friends of P. And so all the lyrics of that song are the palm reading that she gave him. So maybe I'll play that when we come back. We haven't played that in a while. But I've got to get a break in here. We'll be back in a few moments.
And I'm not quite a stallion. I'm a good guy for a gal. And I'm mentally slipping.
All right. Welcome back in. I mentioned that is the song Friends of P. That's the palm reading that Matt Sharp got while they were getting their Weezer album produced by Rick Ocasek. That's his other band, The Rentals, who also did the soundtrack to my online radio show, The Midnight Society. So you can actually go and buy that record album, the soundtrack to Midnight Society. So some of you out there have heard me talking about the Ultimate Men's Clinic and the services they can offer, and some of you are still a little bit reluctant to reach out to them because you don't want to admit that you're having some issues, some man issues that you think you can work your way through, but that, you know, you really should be talking to somebody about. Everything from maybe having a little bit of low testosterone to not being happy with your physical appearance. And not just the physical appearance that everybody can see, if you get what I'm saying. And at the Ultimate Men's Clinic, they can help you with all of that. So if you want to find out about the services they offer, visit theultimatemensclinic.com and find out about some of their services. Enlargements. Things of that nature. And of course, their testosterone treatments that can be as simple as just rubbing on a cream. Not a shot. You certainly can take shots if that's something that you want to do. But if you're not a needle person, they have an easy-to-apply cream that can help you with your testosterone issues without having to have injections. So those are just some of the great things that they can offer you at the Ultimate Men's Clinic. And to find out more, just go to theultimatemensclinic.com and see all the services that they offer. And to set up an appointment, you can just reach out to them at 508-505-9100. Don't keep going with a lack of confidence, with a lack of happiness in yourself, and with a lack of performance. They can help you with all of those things. All it takes is you reaching out and starting that conversation. That conversation that might not be comfortable to have with your spouse, family members, even your own doctor, who you've probably known for years. You still can't bring this up to them. That's okay. Dr. Jack and his team at the Ultimate Men's Clinic, they've heard it all, and they are ready to help you. Again, visit theultimatemensclinic.com, theultimatemensclinic.com, or call 508-505-9100. Let me get this last break in. We will be right back.
Ballet bridge was a comfort. Cena just hides her eyes. Policeman taps the shades and sells a Chevy 69. How bizarre. How bizarre. How bizarre.
And welcome back in. And don't forget, too, we still have your chance to win a pair of passes to fly on Cape Air. All you have to do is go to WBSM.com or the WBSM app to enter. But also, starting on September 29th, Cape Air will offer two daily round-trip flights on a year-round basis, departing from New Bedford at 8:15 a.m. and 2 p.m. and returning from Boston at 1 p.m. and 6:40 p.m. And the ticket's going to be priced right around $99. And the advantage of flying out of New Bedford and going to Boston for wherever your flight takes you from there is that it's a 35-minute gate-to-gate journey that allows you to avoid all the traffic, all the road work, having to park in Boston. It's only $10 a day to park in New Bedford. And it gets you through TSA screening here in New Bedford as opposed to the long lines that'll be waiting for you at Logan. So it's going to be a much more easy process for you. For around the same price it's going to cost you to either park up there for more than a couple of days or to get a rideshare option, any of that, it's going to cost you about the same, if not less. And they're going to actually have a special introductory price of just $79. So you can find out more by going to capeair.com and starting to set up your booking there for the 29th and beyond. And we're going to be there broadcasting live that very first day. Myself and then Chris McCarthy will going to be there that entire time. I'm going to be getting on the plane at 8 o'clock in the morning at 8:15 and flying to Boston, staying there, and then taking the first flight from Boston back to New Bedford. So we can let you know all about what it'll be like. So we'll get into